Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Membetim and Aleph with the new Perek. Now we're beginning the main issues of Trefot and the issues that come up in Chulin. And the Mishnah begins, Elu Trefot Bebeima. These are the Trefot in Bebeima. The Baal Tosafot speak to two different Girsaot in the Mishnah here. The first one would be the one that we have, which is Elu Trefot, which would indicate that the information has been given to us upcoming. The Mishnah is going to explain to us what the Trefot are. There was an alternate Girsa, which was the Elu Trefot, which is a Vav, and that Vav would be a Vav of Chibur that would connect it to the Mishnayot in the previous Perek. And then the Baal Tosafot explained which Mishnayot or what connection it would have to the previous Perek, including the Machloket that we saw between Rabbi Yeshvav and Rabbi Akiva, as to whether an animal is in Nevela with certain problems, and as well as the other Shechitot Psulot that we saw in the previous parak. And the Elu and the Trefot would be then a continuation or built upon that, now giving us additional information. Now they're going to list out the Trefot here, which are numbered at 18 Trefot. And then we're going to get to the Gemara. The Gemara is going to add additional Trefot. And through those Trefot, we have to understand what's the composite list or what are the issues of the Trefot. In general, the Mishnah is going to summarize at the end that Zechal, this is the principle, Kosha ein kamo achaya, something like that that doesn't live, that's considered to be a trefa. There is a fundamental machloket as to whether trefa is chaya or trefa ein achaya, whether trefa has the capacity to live or trefa does not have the capacity to live. One who believes that ein achaya, that it doesn't have the capacity to live, means that within the next 12 months, the animal will die from whatever trefa that it has. The one who believes trefa chaya thinks that the animal can exceed that 12-month period, but many believe that doesn't mean that it's going to be healthy and hearty after that point in time. It means that it's holechet umitnavnevet, which means that it's in a decline. It's in a steady decline. It's just not something that has an expiry date like 12 months, but it will continue to deteriorate over time from the trefa. Truth is that this is an issue that can be determined by testing or by experimentation to see what happens in each of these situations. So it's a little hard to understand necessarily what the machloket is, but it might have to do with when you have evidence to the contrary, how do we view it? Meaning if you believe that an animal will die within 12 months from these types of trefot, these types of injuries, then what happens when it lives beyond that point? Is that a clear indication that it's not a trefa? Or do we say then that is an outlier, that there are some times where they do survive? There are times the conditions, there's certain circumstances that make it different in each case. And that's a truism that the Gemara will say in a number of places, that you can't be midama trefa le trefa. You can't compare one trefa to a different trefa because different circumstances and different conditions and different types of trefot impact the animal differently. And there's no extrapolation from one to the other. And that might be part of the machloket over here is what are the conditions? What were the scenarios in which these were given or expected to cause this type of problem? And therefore, the empirical data doesn't necessarily give us an answer to whether this is or isn't the case. And we'll see in the Gemara that there is this machloket about whether trefa chaya or trefa ena chaya. Now, the Mishnah lists out the trefot, the first two of which we are familiar with from the earlier prokim, and that's why it writes it in a slightly different language. In addition, it also was brought up by the Gemara earlier on with regards to whether these first two are considered to be a trefa or are these first two considered to be a nevela. And the Gemara there had an opinion that the original Mishnah of Rabbi Kiva, which is the Mishnah here, suggested that these were trefot. Later on, he changed his mind and thought that they were nevelot. And in Mishnah zaza mimkoma, a Mishnah doesn't go back or doesn't change the one the Mishnah has already been taught. And those are the first two items that we have here, which is Nekuvat Veshet, which is a puncture of the esophagus, Upsukat Hagargeret, or a break in the trachea. And as we've noted before, Upsukat Hagargeret means you have to have rove of one of the tracheal rings that is broken in order for it to be a trefar, possibly a nevela. Then Nikev Krum Shomach, if the membrane that is around the brain is punctured, that's also a trefa. The Baal Tosafot will see later discuss that there might be two membranes that are sitting there, and you might have to have both of them punctured in order for it to be a trefa. Nikei valev lebeit chalulo. If the heart is punctured, all the way through to its chambers. The Baal Tosafot say over here that by the lave, it gives you this information that doesn't say by any of the other nekevs, any of the holes over here, because the heart is different than many of the other organs. Most of the organs have a thin film or thin skin around them that protects them. They don't have a very thick area. So by definition, you assume that once it's punctured, it's going into the cavity of that organ. By the heart, which is a huge muscle, there's a huge amount of muscle between the outside and the chambers internally. And so it doesn't mean by definition, if you have a hole in it, that the hole reaches all the way to the chambers. And that's why the Mishnah has to specify over here that it's going through to the chamber to tell you that that's the only time it's problematic. But if there's a hole just in the muscle that's around the heart, that's not a problem. It has to reach through to one of the chambers. And some suggest even that it has to reach to the larger of the chambers. But most believe that any chamber would be sufficient to cause a problem over here. Nishpara hashidra v'nifsa kachut shela. This is actually one problem, as Rashi notes over here, which is that the spinal column was broken, nifsa kachut shela, and then the spinal cord was torn or ruined in that case. And Rashi says over here that, in general, when nishpara hashidra, when the spinal column is broken, then the spinal cord is torn, and that's what the problem is. But that's the main focus. If for whatever reason, the shidra was nishbira, but the snifsaka lichut was not torn or severed in any way, then it would not be a trefa. The main focus over here is nifsaka chut shela. Nishbira shidra is just symptomatic of the fact that there's probably nifsaka chut shela, but the main focus on nifsaka chut shela, and these are counted as a single trefa. Nitala kaved, v'lo nishtar menu klum. The liver that is removed, and nothing of it remains, then that is a trefa. The Mishnah later on will speak about those things that are kasherim, and it'll say that a liver that has a certain amount left of it is kasher, and then the Gemara will ask, in between those two amounts, between not being there at all and that amount, what's the din? But the idea being that the liver, if it has a certain amount of it left in the body, is able either to regenerate itself or able to function even though it doesn't have a full liver over there. Be'areya shenikva, and a lung that has been punctured, o shechesra, or it's missing some part of the lung. The lung is comprised of the main bronchial tubes that take the air down from the trachea. Then it has smaller bronchi that extend out of the tubes, and then they fill the area of the lungs themselves. And all these items, I'm going through them pretty quickly, because the Gemara is going to dwell on each one of them and discuss what exactly the issues are. But over here, we're assuming that there's a puncture into one of the lungs, or chesra, one of those lobes is actually missing. And the Baal Tosafot say over here, "Nita lalev ve'areya badakim lo yitzrich lemitnei d'bechlav nekuvim heim." Tosafot points out that you don't have to mention that certain organs are missing because it's the equivalent of a puncture. A hole or a nekev makes it that it's problematic. Then the missing part of it or missing the organ clearly is going to be problematic. This is the one instance where the Mishnah mentions both the fact that there's a puncture as well as the fact that if something is missing over here, and if they ask why, the Mishnah needs to mention both of these items if they seem to be a derivative of each other. If there's a nekev or a chasera is just a bigger nekev. And so why isn't that subsumed there? We'll have to discuss that in the Gemara. Now we're up to 9. Trefot so far. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ad Shinitina Cave, the Beit HaSimponot. So Rabbi Shimon qualifies the hole there is that it's not enough to have a hole in the lobe or in the outer bronchi. It has to be on the main bronchial tubes. The hole has to reach there. That's where it's problematic. Nikva HaKeva, if the abomasum is punctured, Nikva HaMara, or if there's a puncture in the gallbladder, nikvu hadakin, if there is a puncture in the intestines. Now the Mishnah here is discussing all the parts of the digestive system. We'll go through them, and then I'll come back and discuss how they actually work. Hakares hapnimit, the inner rumen, shinikva, that is punctured, o shnikra rov hachitzona, or the outer rumen, if the majority of it is torn. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, when we mean majority of it is torn on the outer karis, that is agdola. If it's a large animal or a large rumen, then it'd be a tefach of a tear. Vaktana, and a small animal, it's biruba. These are different measurements depending on the size of the animal. The next word here is subject to a machloket rishonim as to whether the hey is a hey ayidia or the hey is part of the shoresh of the word. If you actually look down in otei of the shita mikubetzet, nira beinai b'ktzat svarim yishanim katuv lamasas. That was written to the masas, and that would mean that the hey was a hey ayidia, not a hey as part of the shoresh amila. So here the shita mikubetzet brings that older girsaot had it without a hey in a different part of the Gemara. The Aruch and the Rambam both seem to think that the word is Masseis, and therefore the proper pronunciation over here would be Hamasseis, because the hey is not part of the Shoresh, it is a hey Ayidia that's associated with it. Many other Rishonim seem to think the hey is a part of the Shoresh of the word, and therefore the pronunciation of the word would be Hemseis, because the hey is a part of the word, it's not just the hey Ayidia. Both pronunciations are supported by Rishonim over here. We'll continue to use it as part of the word, which is hemseis, pronounce it with it, but know that there are some that think it should be hamaseis, and then the word would be maseis, and that's referring to the omasum, ubeit ha-koso, the reticulum, shinikvu lachutz, that puncture outwards. The reason that these are brought together is because they sit on top of each other, they are adjacent to each other, and therefore only if they are punctured to the outer side of them is it a problem. If they are punctured to the inner side, they're actually sitting on top of each other. So the skin or the outer edge of the other organ would cover up a hole from one of the two organs because they're pressed up against each other. And that's why here you need it to be to the outside. So just to take a moment here to explain the digestive system of the cow and what the Gemara is discussing over here. When the cow eats, it swallows and it goes down the veshet. So the esophagus that we already explained above, that it is something that has a nekev in it, it's going to be pasul. Rashi then says, Hamachal nechnas lakeva. The food then goes into the kares, into the rumen. The rumen is the first place the food goes. It's extremely large. And the kares extends both on the inner side of the animal as well as the outer side of the animal. And that might be, the Gemara is going to discuss what is the kares apnimi and the kares achitzon. And it might be that the part that is towards the esophagus is the pnimi. The part that's towards the outer side of the organs is the kares hachitzon. That's a very large area where the food first goes and begins the digestive process. Rashi over here does not then discuss the fact that the animal then regurgitates the food, and that's what the male geira is in the animal. From the kares, it goes back up to the mouth of the animal where it re-chooses it again, it regurgitates it and chews it again. And then on the next time down, when it swallows, then it goes down to the beta kosot, which are the reticulum. From the beta kosot, it goes to the hemseis, which is the omasum. And then from the omasum, it moves into the keba, which is the abomasum. And then from the abomasum, it exits into the dakim, into the intestines. So it moves through these four different stomachs of the cow, the first of which is the karis, which is the largest of them. Then it's regurgitated, it's malegeira, goes back up, chews it again, sends it back down through the system, through the beta kosot, the reticulum, then into the hemseis, the omasum, and then into the abomasum, the keba, where it finally ends up. The Mishnah noted that the beta kosot and the hemseis, as you can see in the pictures that I sent out to you, are adjacent to each other. They sit on top of each other, and therefore if there's a puncture in the reticulum or the omasum, it has to be towards the outside, not internally, because internally they sit on top of each other, and then the one would block the other hole from causing a problem. And the beta kosot and omasum already empty into each other. So that even if there's a hole between them, it's not something that would be of a fatal nature. Okay, so that's the digestive system of the cow. Now, flaminagag, if it falls off the roof, and we'll see this in the Gemara, that means it falls off any area that's more than 10 tefachim high, even though it doesn't show any signs of injury, doesn't show any signs of a problem. By definition, if in the first 24 hours you check the animal, it's automatically deemed to be a trefa. What we worry about is internal bleeding or internal injury. And without being able to investigate that, we assume that the animal's a trefa. Even if you check then, you check it afterwards and it seems there's nothing wrong. If the animal lives 24 hours, and then there's a question as whether it has to stand up or it doesn't have to stand up at that point, but if it makes it past the 24-hour point, then it's no longer considered to be a trefa, because if there was anything internal, it already would have shown up by that time. If it doesn't show up by that time, we assume that it is not a trefa. Now in Cain, of course, you shecht it and you open it up, and there is a trefa inside. Nishtabru, Rove tzalota. If the majority of the ribs of the cow were broken, then it's also considered to be a treifa. Udrusat hazeev. So this is the only one that is really an external problem, which is that it was attacked by a wolf. And the Gemara will tell us, Rashi already notes this, that it is a situation in which it, from its forelegs, it put its claws into the animal. The Gemara believes that there was also a certain type of venom inside the claws, and that venom affects the evarim, affects the internal organs by the poison that's inserted by them. So therefore, even though there's no necessarily visible treifa, you have to look for the effects of the venom, and that we spoke about earlier, and we're going to speak about again, redness that you see on the organ itself would be an indication of that. Rashi later on seems to indicate that the problem is that the venom will cause there to be a hole. So the real issue is puncture, not just the venom, but the venom causes punctures. As opposed to what you see in Tosfot, where he says, nothing, time at below mishum to sopali na cave. It's not because in the end that's going to get a puncture in it, but rather, at the time of the drusa, she eres sereif misofalamut. It has a poisoning effect that it burns the organs and causes the problem through the poisoning, rather than a puncture, as opposed to Rashi, who thinks the problem is a puncture. But either way, there is a belief here that the attack, a wolf attack, is not simply the physical damage that's done, but there are residual effects of that attack, which make it into a treifa. If it's clawed by a wolf, that's true in a small animal, because a small animal, that's a significant attack on the animal. We're talking about a larger animal, then we're talking about being clawed by a lion, not just by a wolf. And obviously a lion would be sufficient for a smaller animal as well. Udrusat hanets ba'of. And the clawing, the seems to be here, it's a species of hawk that they're speaking about over here. That the drusat hanets in birds, that would be enough for a ba'of adak. For the smaller birds, the attack by the claws of the hawk would have the similar effect of making it into a treifa like the drusata zeiv. Udrusata gas be'ofa gas. Likely over here, the word should not be gas, but the gersa should be gates or gaze. And that's drusata gaze or a gates is a falcon-like animal. That's an attack animal that is clawing a larger bird. That would be enough to, or sufficient to make it into a treifa. Zeaklal, here's the principle which we discussed before. Kol she'ein kamoa chaya, anything that doesn't live like this, she'ein kamoa chaya, anything where an animal wouldn't live from such an injury, treifa, that is a treifa. And that zekral opens up the possibility that the list in our Mishnah is not exhaustive. There are 18 in our Mishnah, but there might be additional ones given the fact that we have zekral. This is the principle, and the principle comes to include other items, as we'll see in a second. Rashi makes a statement over here, which is somewhat borne out by the Gemara later on. She says, "V'ein tam b'treifot shalacha l'moshe m'sinai hein." Don't assume that there's any logic in the treifot. The treifot are a mesora, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and therefore, even though at the end of the Mishnah we give this zeaklau, the listed items over here are treifot, whether or not, again, they live or they don't live from this type of injury, whether we have evidence to the contrary or not. This is deemed to be a treifa. This is the halacha of the Moshe Misinai, and we don't have to look into the reasoning behind it. You don't have to look into the logic behind it. It's simply a given that these are treifot. Now, maybe when you extend it in the zeklal, there maybe you have to use logic. Then you have to use empirical evidence to figure out whether they live or they don't live from such injuries. But at least these 18 are halacha of the Moshe Misinai, are not subject to questioning or empirical evidence to the contrary. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Remez l'treifa min haTorah minayin. How do we know that there are these issues of treifot min haTorah? Where it says, minayin? What do you mean, minayin? It's an explicit pasuk. Basar basadeh treifa lo tochelu. That you're not allowed to eat things that are basar basadeh, treifa, lo tochelu. Now this pashtura pasuk is speaking about an attack, where an animal actually attacks another animal. And basar basadeh treifa, it was attacked, it was somehow injured in the sadeh, lo tochelu, don't eat such an animal. So truthfully, out of the 18 things that we enumerated in the Mishnah, the only one that's really mentioned in the Torah is drusat hazeiv, which is the classic treifa. Now the Gemara also darshan basar basadeh treifa lo tochelu, anything that leaves its mechitza is problematic. But that's a drush on the pasuk. The pasuk still has its pashtut. The simple reading of the pasuk, as Rashi says over here, and that simple reading of the pasuk is that something was attacked in the field, and that attack caused injury or something fatal happened to the animal because of that attack, you're not allowed to eat such an animal. But that's not a remez, it's an explicit pasuk in the Torah. The remez the trefa she'ena chayam in a Torah minayin. So now we're not looking for trefa in a Torah. We want to know a remez in the Torah that a trefa does not succeed at living, that it will die from that injury or will die from that problem. How do we know that? Diktani seifa, because the end of the Mishnah gives you a principle, which is zaklal. Kochein kamo chaya trefa. Anything similar to it that doesn't live is classified as a trefa. Michlal. From that it would seem to mean that trefa ain't a chaya. That a trefa does not have the capacity to live. Minolon. How do we know that that is the case? Dichtiv. Because the pasuk says, is a pasuk that we quoted before when we dealt with Mitsukenet. And there the pasuk says, Vizot hachaya asher tochlu. This is the chayot that you will eat. The pasuk goes on to say that babehema. So it's speaking about a behema, not a chayo. So then what is the introductory phase, hachaya? So they dashen from that, chaya achol, sheno chaya lo techol. That which lives, you should eat. That which doesn't live, you shouldn't eat. Michlau, the trefa lo chaya. That tells you that something that is a trefa is not chaya, meaning that's the meaning of the pasuk. There are certain animals that live, there are certain animals that don't live. The animals that don't live are considered to be trefot, or that is a trefa. And that's what you're not allowed to eat. What you are allowed to eat is something that does live. Or in essence, this is the definition of what basar basadet trefa lo tochelu is. What is basar basadet trefa lo tochelu? Here's the definition. Zot hachaya, asher tochlu. That which lives, you're allowed to eat. That's not a trefa. But if it doesn't live, you can't eat it because that is classified as a trefa. So that would be the hint in the Torah to this idea that trefa ain't a chaya. So the Gemara says, Ulamanda amar trefa chaya minolei. Wait a minute, what about those that believe that a trefa is able to live? As Rashi says here, later on in the parak, in Zion and Bet, Amrulo, Valo harbe mitkaimot, shtayim v'shalosh shanim. That they live for 2 or 3 years, even with these problems. So there is a belief, the Chachamim who believe that there is a trefa chaya, the trefot do have the capacity to live. Rashi over here doesn't give any more definition to it, but again, many of the Rishonim believe that when you say trefa chaya, it doesn't mean it's going to live a happily ever after, a great life. It's on a deteriorating line. It's just not going to die immediately. It could last 2-3 years, but it's not going to be healthy or full strength anymore. It will deteriorate over that period of time, and that's what it means, trefa chaya. Although there are those, and from Rashi over here, it sounds like they could live full throttle without any problems for 2 or 3 years. And these trefa may not be of a fatal nature. That might be what it means, trefa chaya. So according to the one who says that trefa is chaya, how do we know that a trefa is problematic? So nafkalei mizot hakaya. How does he know that that's the case? He learns it out. Mizot hakaya asher tochlu. So the zot is a miut. So the miut tells you that zot hakaya achol. This chaya, this that live, eat. Chaya acheret, something else that lives, lo techol. You shouldn't eat. So the way that we learned it originally was there's a definition of what you may eat, and those are things that live. Things that don't live, you can't eat. So over here, there's a zot that says, even within those that live, there's some that you may eat, there's some that you may not eat. And that's what the word zot says. Out of those that live, these are the only ones you can eat, those ones that are not trefot. Those that are trefot, even though they live, you may not eat them. Michlal, the trefa chaya. From there, you see that a trefa is chaya. Now, the truth is that he doesn't need a proof for this, because he's the default. The default status would have been that a trefa is chaya. You need evidence of the fact that a trefa isn't chaya, and that was the first limud we had. The Gemara, when it's posing the question over here to the one who says trefa chaya, it's not asking for a source for that. It's asking for him, how does he darshan the pasuk, so that it doesn't give you the same result as the previous view, which is that a trefa is in a chaya. So he does that through the mute of the word zot. Ve'idach, the one who believes that a trefa doesn't live, hai zot may ovidle. What does he do with the mute of zot? Ibayle gantana debay Rabbi Yishmael. That's for the breita that we have from Rabbi Yishmael, the tana debay Rabbi Yishmael. Zot achaya asher tochlu. Milamei shetafas sakarish brochu mikol min v'min. That Hashem took out each species. Ve'aralo le Moshe. And he showed it to Moshe. Ve'amalo zot achol v'zot lo techol. The classic drasha of Chazal, whenever the Torah uses the word zot or zeh, it usually means that somebody is pointing to it, it's visible, it's something that you can't see physically. like a chodesh hazeh lachem. This week's parsha, where Chazal say that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the new moon or the molad, so they would understand it because nitkasha b'Moshe. Moshe had a hard time with it. Or in Az Yashir, zeh keli v'anveyu. So the Midrash Chazal over there is that they were able to see the Shekhinah and point to it. That zeh keli v'anveyu, the zeh again. So similarly over here, zot means that Hashem is showing him physically the items, these animals that are kasherot and those that are not kasher, he's showing those to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Baal Tosafot over here asks, why isn't this included in the list of items that Moshe nitkasha b'hem? The Gemara in Menachot says there were three things that Moshe had a hard time with, and therefore Hashem showed him a vision of it. One was, and that's why it's mentioned in Menachot, was the menorah. One of them was the Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodesh. And the last one was Shratzim. Those were the three things mentioned in Menachot. Yet Tosafot says there are other things that Hashem showed to Moshe Rabbeinu, including the matveya for the machatzit shekel, because it says ze yitnu. Ze again means an indication that Moshe showed him the coin. Or over here, again, zot is also an indication that Moshe saw it. The Tosafot wants to distinguish between items where Moshe Rabbeinu had an extremely hard time discerning and understanding it, where he showed it to him. Those are the three mentioned in Menachot. Whereas there are other things where Moshe understood it, but for additional clarity, Hashem showed him the item so that he could then convey that to Bnei Yisrael or tell it over to Bnei Yisrael. Therefore, these are not included in that list of three, but these are additional items that were shown to Moshe Rabbeinu. But now, given that, now we have a use for the word zot over here. So the Idach Nami, the one who says that a treifa is chaya, he violated the Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, he needs that drasha of Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel as well. And Okanami, you're right. El a treifa chaya minole. So then, how does he know that a treifa is chaya? Nafkale mi Idach Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. He learns it out from the other bright of Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. Ben achaya hanechelet, uben achaya asher lo teachel. This is a distinction that you make between the chayot that are eaten and the chayot that you may not eat. What is the ones that you may eat and the ones that you may not eat? Elish monesre treifot shenemru the Moshe Misinai. These are the 18 treifot that were given as a mesorah to Moshe at Sinai. And now the Gemara is going to ask, betulaka, and there are no more. Because the Tana de Bei Rishmal makes it sound like there are only 18. It doesn't have the more expansive view of our Mishnah, which is Zaklau, gives you a principle at the end to include more items. It says, these are the 18 and 18 only. When you say these are the 18 and 18 only, and it's Allah of the Moshe Misinai, that means it has nothing to do with logic. It all has to do with these are determined to be something that is problematic, and that's Allah of the Moshe Misinai, irrespective of whether it lives or it doesn't live over here. It is something that is disqualified. Ben achaya hanechelet, ben achaya asher lo teachel. Where it lives or not is not the question. It's both of them are chaya, that it lives. But it's a living animal that is nechelet, that you can't eat. Ben achaya, something that lives, but ain't a nechelet, but it cannot be eaten. And that's the straightfold, which even though the animal will be able to survive, you're not allowed to eat the animal. And from there he thinks that a treifa is chayo. It does have the ability to live. And these are halacha of the Moshe Misinai, that these treifot are disqualifying, that's one way to view it, or the way that we said in the other Rishonim, that it's a deteriorating circumstance for the animal, but it doesn't mean that the animal will die from these treifot. And the truth is that in the end, the nafkamina between these two positions is really when you have a safek treifa. Because if you have a vadei treifa, it does not matter whether the animal does live or doesn't live. We consider these to be halacha of the Moshe Misinai, and if it has this problem with it, it's automatically deemed to be a treifa no matter how long it lives. On the other hand, if we have something that's a safek treifa, for the one who says that treifa ain't a chaya, then that's included by the klal at the end of the Mishnah, that she'enu chaya kamoa, that something that along those lines would not survive. And therefore, if it does survive, that's evidence of the fact that this is not a treifa. On the other hand, for the one who says that treifa chaya, the mere fact that it survives is not enough information to... not enough empirical evidence to tell us that it's not a treifa. And that's really where the nafkamina between these two positions will arise, is in issues of safek treifa. So now the Gemara says, v'tu leka. Are there no more treifot besides the 18? The Tana Bei Shmuel makes it sound like it's an exclusive list. Our Mishnah again gives the opening that there's more than the 18. Va'ika basgar. Basgar is an acronym, as we'll see in a second. V'shav shmaitata. And the seven memrot. So baskar are from Mishnayot and Braitot. There are four other treifot that are mentioned in Mishnayot and Braitot. We're going to quote in a second. The Shav Shmaita are seven trefot that are brought down in Memrot of Amoraim. So now you have an additional 11 trefot over here, which the Gemara is going to quote in a second, which are not captured by the 18 of Rabbi Shmuel. So what are you going to do about that? So Bishlam Alatana Didan, according to our Mishnah, we don't have a problem. The Tana Tana, what he wrote, I mean the 18 that he wrote there, he wrote down. Udishayar, and that which he left out, these additional 11, Achab Zakal. They'll be included with the capture phrase at the end of the Mishnah. It says Zakal, this is the principle. And this principle would capture anything that he didn't mention in the Mishnah, would be then included because they are in the cloud that is mentioned. Eladatana to be Rabbi Shmuel Damar Yudchet Trefot Vitzu Leka. He says that there are 18 Trefot as if that's an exclusive list of Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai and there are no more. Vayiko. What about these additional items? And now it's going to go through the items that it quoted over there. Bazgar is the first one. And that is Behema Shenechtechu Raglah Min Arkova Ulemalo. It's an animal whose raglah is a reference to the hind legs, as Rashi says over here. When the Gemara uses the term regal, it's referring to the hind legs. When it uses the yad, it's referring to the forelegs. So over here, the regal is the hind legs that was cut min arakova ulemalo. Now, arakova is a knee joint. The truth is that the cow actually has two knee joints. The leg of the animal is comprised of three bones. There's the yerech, or the koliit, which is the upper bone that goes from the hip down to the first knee joint. Then there's the shok bone. And then there's an additional joint there that drops into what is known as the regel, the lower bone. So now the arkova here could be either arkova ha elyona or the arkova ha tachtona. There's a machlokim as to which of these two arkovot you are referencing to. But it means lamala min arkova, means above that knee joint. If you cut it above that knee joint, that's classified as a trefa. Whether it means the lower knee joint, it means it's cut in the shok, or it's the upper knee joint, which means it's cut at the yerech, above, for much higher up, that's subject, again, as we said here, to a machloket rishonim. You can see in Rashi, that Rashi says over here, arkova is the yonio, makom, chibur shok vayerech. It's the connection between the shok, the thigh, and the yerech, which is the upper bone that goes up to the thigh, which means it's the upper joint that he's referencing to, and that's the place, shemefarkim ota misham, Shatav Shata, the place that you break when you want to skin or flay the animal, that's where you start cutting from, that's where you break in order to do the Hafshata. So that's what Rashi claims. Again, there are alternate opinions that we'll see when we get to Ayin Vav and Ayin Zayin. When the Gemara discusses this more extensively, we'll see that there are opinions that it's a reference to the lower knee and not the upper knee. But that's something that renders it a trefa. My answer is Sabalek Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Then Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel will subscribe to Rabbi Shimon Elazar's position. Damar Yecholahi Likavot Ulechayot. You can quarterize it, and then it can live. Meaning that you could burn it, you could seal it up so that the blood flow stops. In that way, you could quarterize it and then have the animal live. So that would be a way to solve this problem. And if you hold it, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, this is not a trefa. Where it says, wait a minute, Avagav Yecholah Likavot Ulechayot. Wait a minute, even though you can quarterize it and then it will live, Laman Kamar, who are you doing this for? But Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Trefa Chaya Svirle. They think that a Trefa can live. So just because you can do something that causes the animal to live doesn't change the fact that it could be a Trefa. Because Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel of the belief that a Trefa does survive. A Trefa is not automatically doomed to die in the next 12 months. So just because you change it over to now something that will survive doesn't mean that you've changed the status of the item from being a trefa to a non-trefa. For those that believe that a trefa and a chaya, then Rabbi Shimon Elazar is clearly saying, if I can stop and I can cause it to live, then it's not a trefa. But according to Tana Bishmo, it says a trefa will live anyway, so that's no proof. Just because you can make it live doesn't mean you don't have a trefa over here. So Ella, Sabalak, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, they hold like Rabbi Shimon Elazar to mark sherei, that it is kasher. So now, Rashi over here notes that this is all in the Tosefta. The Tosefta writes, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, K'sheirahi, when it's cut min arkov and lamala, it is K'sheira, because. And then he gives the reasoning, which is because, Yecholahi lichavot ulechayot. So Rashi just claims that they quoted the one part of the Tosefta, and then after they rejected it, they just quoted the other part of the Tosefta. The Ramban and others are bothered by that, because it's one continuum in the Tosefta. So the way that the Rabbeinu Hananel deals with it is to say that they're actually quoting from a different source, not the source in the Tosefta, but rather a source in Yevamot, which speaks about a person who's a Gidein. If you have a witness to someone who has, his limbs were cut off, and now they're coming to testify to his wife, whether he had died or he didn't die, they didn't see him die, they just saw his limbs that were cut off. So then the belief there is when he comes to testify, the guy's not going to survive in that condition, and when he testifies, that's a good enough testimony that the person passed away and the wife is now free, she's not an aguna. Rabbi Shimon Elazar argues on that and says that they could be lechavot velechiot. They could have cauterized him and he could have survived. And therefore there's a possibility he survived, and therefore you can't testify to the fact that he absolutely died. So that's what the Rabbeinu Hananel says, the Gemara is quoting originally, that source from Yevamot. Then after it's rejected, they go now to the Tosefta where Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Kshayra. And the Ramban does now says that even within Rashi, which is originally they read the Tosefta saying, yeah, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says Kshayra because of this fact. And then when the Gemara comes back and says, oh, they'll hold like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, that means that they're going to hold like him, but not for his reason. When he says Kshayra, they agree with that point that it's not a Treifa, but they don't agree for his reasoning. His reasoning is because it can live. But for Tanit Be'er Shmo, that doesn't make a difference. They think it's Kshayra because it's just not a Treifa. So that's how the Ramban takes what the Rabbeinu Hananel says and then tries to read it into the Tosefta the way that Rashi read it, which is that they had the whole Tosefta, but originally they thought that it's Kshayra because of the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon Elazar, and that doesn't work for Tanit Be'er Shmo. The Gemara comes back and says, you know what? We're going to hold like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, but for a different reason, which is that it's just not a Treifa. So that eliminates this problem. That's the first of the Bazgar that we mentioned. That's the Bet. Be'imash nechtacha ragla in our Kovel Amalo. Even though it's a Treifa according to some, they're going to hold like Rabbi Shimon Elazar that it's not a Treifa, and therefore it's not a question on Tana debate Rabbi Ishmael. All right, so now the Gemara says the next one of the Bazgar, which is the Samach of the word Chesaron, it's Chesaron Beshidra, a missing piece of the spinal column. It's not. We have a Mishnah that appears in a number of places. The main Mishnah is found in Olot, which is Kama Chesaron Beshidra, how much needs to be missing from the spinal column. Bechamayomim Shtei Chuliot, two vertebrae. Bechilomim Chulia Achat, one vertebrae. The truth is that this is not speaking about Treifa or not Treifa. It's actually speaking about Tum'ah and Tumata Ohel. A mate creates Tumata Ohel. So there are different parts of the mate that can generate Tumata Ohel. Kazayit basar min amate. A kazayit worth of flesh from a mate creates a problem of Tumata Ohel. Otherwise, if you have something that is smaller or something that doesn't create Tumata Ohel, then it won't be mitame bimago masa. So for instance, a bone, etzem kisi ora is mitame, but it's not mitame ba'ohel. It's mitame bimago masa, it's not mitame ba'ohel. In order to be mitame ba'ohel for a bone, you need the skeletal remains to be either robe binyano, which is the robe of the skeletal structure, the major bones of the build of the body, robe minyano, the majority of the bones of the skeletal structure, or if you have an entire skull that's there, or an entire shidra, an entire spinal column that's there. So what Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are discussing is how much of it needs to be missing in order for it not to be mitamei bohel. So Beit Shammai says if you're missing two vertebrae, then it's not mitame bo'el. Beit Hillel says that if you're missing one vertebrae, then it's not mitame bo'el. So they are obviously makil in this case, but then you have Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, v'chein l'treifa. The same din applies to a treifa, which means that in order for it to be deemed a treifa, there where Beit Hillel are makil and say when the shidra, when the spinal column is missing one vertebrae, it's no longer mitame bo'el, that means that he is machmir when it comes to the issue of treifa. That means if you're missing one vertebrae, then it's a treifa. According to Beit Shammai, who says that you need two missing in order for not to be mitame ohel, he also thinks you need two missing in order for it to be deemed a treifa. But over there again, you have a treifa because of a missing part of the shidra. Now, the Baal Tosafot discuss over here, the large Tosafot here, discussing what exactly, first of all, did Shmuel do over here? And if it is a member of Amoraim, it shouldn't have been brought in the Bazgar. The Bazgar, Mishnayot, and Breit. The Shav Shmaitet that we're going to bring in a second, the seven Memrot of Amoraim are later on. Shmuel should be included in the Memrot of Amoraim, not in the issues that are brought with the Mishnayot and Breitot. So in order to solve that problem, they say, well, it's a reference to the latter part of that Mishnah. The next part of that Mishnah deals with a skull. And it says there how much of a skull needs to be missing in order for it not to be mitameh ba'ohel. Okay, there's a machlokes there between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. And then the Mishnah ends with v'chein l'treifa. That's true of a treifa as well. So the Mishnah, when it says v'chein l'treifa, only says it on the second statement in the Mishnah. The Mishnah has two statements. It has one statement about a shidra, about a spinal column, and then a statement about the skull. How much is to be missing from the skull in order for it to be a, not be mitamei boa? And then the Mishnah says, b'chein the trefa. That's true by a trefa as well. So all Shmuel's telling you is not that he's adding some information, but rather he's telling you that the chein the trefa at the end of the Mishnah references not just to the skull, but also to the shidra, also to the spinal column. So he's really telling you that it's from a Mishnaic source. And the chiddush is that the chen the treifa is not just about the skull. The skull where you have a piece missing, and therefore it's deemed not to be mitamei boel, the chen the treifa, the Mishnah says. That's true of a treifa as well. If you're missing that amount, you're deemed to be a treifa. So Shmuel says, don't say that just about the skull. It's also applicable to the shidra as well. And the chen the treifa is going back on both statements in the Mishnah. The problem with doing that, and the Baal Tosfot already raised that, is that that doesn't work so well with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that even if you have a puncture in the membrane of the brain, that's already a trefa. Over here, we're speaking about pieces of the skull missing in order for it to be a trefa. That's way past a puncture, way past a hole in the membrane. So why do you need such high standards or thresholds for a trefa? So there are Beinu Tam answers that when you're missing that piece of the skull, it includes the membrane above it. Ubehema mitrefa benikivata krum lechudei. And even though an animal has a puncture in the membrane is a trefa, aval adam. That Mishnah is speaking about a human being, de'itle mazlo, because he has mazlo, and he might be able to survive, even if he has some deficit like that, b'yichisaron gugolit im nikivat akrum. So he says there's a higher threshold for the trefa by adam than there is by behema, because adam has mazlo, and therefore he could survive, or they could do things that might otherwise be impossible medically. Therefore, the Adam has a higher threshold. To be a trefa, not only needs a nikivat krum, a puncture in the membrane, it also needs to have a piece of the skull missing. But for a behema, it's enough. Who doesn't have a mazel, it's enough. It just has a puncture of the membrane. The Baal Tosafot then show or discuss the fact that that doesn't seem correct, as well as the fact that many times we're going to compare behema to Adam. And whatever is a trefa by Adam is a trefa by behema. What's trefa by behema is a trefa by Adam. And so we use them interchangeably, and over here the Rabbeinu Tam is suddenly saying that there's a difference between them. And therefore the Baal Tosafot come up with a different distinction, which is the following. Nireh dechitzarona gugolet haya im nikivata krum ha'elyon. That when we're speaking over here that there's a missing part of the skull, that is a puncture of the outer membrane. There are actually two membranes that sit on top of the brain. There's an outer membrane and an inner membrane. And what he says is when you puncture it, the sof tata li pasek, because the inner membrane is also going to break. If you have a puncture of the outer membrane, and you have a missing part of the skull, that's almost a given that the inner membrane then is going to be broken as well. Because you have too much going on. You have an outer hole already, you have a break of the skull, that by definition is going to make it that the inner, the lower membrane is going to break as well, it's going to tear as well. That's why it's considered to be a trefa. But, if the outer membrane is punctured without a missing piece of the skull, that's not a guarantee that the second membrane will be punctured. And the Tosafot then says the difference is that by human beings, that inner membrane, the second membrane, is much tougher. And therefore, just because you have a puncture on the outer membrane doesn't mean the inner one will puncture. On a behema, the inner membrane is as thin as the outer membrane, and therefore if there's a puncture on the outer one, you can almost guarantee there's going to be a puncture in the inner membrane as well. And that's what leads to the difference. By behema, you just need a hole in the outer membrane, it's already a trefa. Because that hole is going to lead to a hole in the inner membrane, and that's why it's a trefa, period. By an adam, which has a thicker inner membrane, then if a hole on the outside is not enough. On the outer membrane, that's not sufficient. You need a hole in the outer membrane and a break of the skull, a missing part of the skull. Then that's already giving you a trefa, because then the inner membrane will definitely break. And then Tosafot makes this point, which is that if there are differences in the anatomy of man and animal that leads to a difference like here, he's explaining that the inner membrane of the brain is thicker in man than it is in behemoth, there'll be a difference in the din. But if we don't have any discussion of that, or there's no indication that's different, then the dinim will be shaveh. So he says, yes, they are equal. We will compare them or we'll use them for each other. That's as long as we don't see any big difference between them. But like in this case, where there is a difference, then the din will be different with regards to the brain. But that's why it's mentioned over here, even though it's a member of Shmuel. Shmuel's member is just telling you that it's going on the whole Mishnah of Achen the Trefa, and therefore the missing spine should also be considered or classified as a Trefa. So why is that not mentioned in the 18 of Tanna Dei Beis Yisrael? So my answer is, Hepses Ubeda Kasot. those two parts of the digestive system, which are the reticulum and the omasum, those, the kachoshet lubitarte, in our Mishnah, they were counted as two separate trefot. Kashvinu bechado. You should count them as one. Apichado vayochado. So you'll take one out, because now you're putting them together. The reason that we're doing this is because the beta kotzot flow directly into the omasum, and the reticulum flows directly into the omasum, and they're right next to each other. They're adjacent to each other. And again, we said that if there's a hole between the two of them, then that's not a sufficient hole. But if there's a hole to the outside, that is a problem. So it's really like looked at as like one organ. For that reason, we're going to have to combine them as a single trefa in the Mishnah. And that opens up an additional trefa, which we're going to say is the missing parts of the vertebrae in the spine. And that's how Rabbi Shmuel deals with that. Now we go to the third of those trefot, which is Vayika Gluda. Don't you have the case of Gluda? As Rashi explains over here, Gluda is Shinital Ora, Vushata Kula. Its skin is missing entirely. That either could be because of disease, he says because of shchin, so the skin has been eaten off or ruined by the shchin. O machmat malacha, it was so heavily worked that the skin has a scabbing or blistering on it from the work, and the skin is now missing on the animal. So that's called a gluda. And we have a Mishnah later on that says that the chachamim are poslim. You have a gluda that's considered to be a trefa. So my answer is, sovalak Rabbi Meir, demachshir. That the Beis Shmuel is going to hold like Rabbi Meir, who thinks that a gluda is not a trefa. And that's how they'll get around it. Vaika charuta. So this is the last of the basgar. We just had the gimel, and now we have the resh, which is charuta, the resh over there. Charuta means like a palm tree, like the leaves of the palm tree when they dry out, which is if the lungs shriveled up or dried out to the point that they look like chariot shel dekel. They look like the branches of a palm tree that have dried out, and they're like much harder now. They're not soft. They don't have the normal pliability that you would assume that lungs have. They become brittle. And so that is a charuta. So what about that trefa? You don't mention that in the Mishnah. So then the Gemara says, Mara, the gallbladder that you mentioned in the Mishnah that is problematic, man katoni lo. Who's the author of that position that a puncture of the mara of the gallbladder is considered to be a trefa? That's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. It's a dat yachid. It's actually not a consensus opinion. Even though it's included in our Mishnah, it's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi bi Rabbi Yehuda. So afik mara, take that out because that's a dat yachid. Vayel charuta. And then put in charuta. So that'll give you the 18 according to Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. So we solved the problem with Basger. With Basger, we said two of them don't apply because they are deot that have dissenting opinions. And the other two, we said we are going to include because we took out two items from our Mishnah, the 18 in our Mishnah. We combined Beta Kosot and Hemses, and we took out Mara, which is the Dat Yachid, and we replaced it with Charuta. So that's how we deal with Basger. Vayika Shav Shmaitita. What about the seven memrot of the Amoraim? Davar marmatna, hai buka da'atma. The hip joint, the shaf miduchte, that slips out of place, trefa. If you look at Rashi on the Torah, with regards to the fight between Yaakov and the Malach, when the Malach injured Yaakov, Rashi brings the same language of buka da'atma, that it's speaking about the hip joint, which is a ball and socket joint. The ball and socket joint, when it moves out of place, when it's been dislocated, that's classified as a trefa according to Ma'amatna. You can see here the Girsat Aruch is that it is a buchna. A buchna is a pestle and mortar, which is just like the pestle and the mortar. When you stick it in to the pestle and the mortar, you have like a ball that goes inside that's doing the crushing inside. That's this ball and socket joint of the hip. That dislocated is considered to be a trefa. V'amar Rachish Bar Papa. Mishmei derav, lakta bekulya achat, trefa. If one of the kidneys has a disease or is problematic, is dried up, that's also considered to be a trefa. Of course, if there are two of them that are dried up, it's certainly a trefa. But even if one of them has this disease or a problem, then it is a trefa. If it's not, you have a mission that says, nitalat chol ksheira. If the spleen is removed entirely, then it's ksheira. Rama rava vira mishmei derava, lo shano nital. That's only if it was taken out entirely. Of a nikev trefa, but if it has a puncture in it, it's problematic. Meaning that if the entire spleen is removed, it's fine. But if the spleen is still there and it has a hole in it, it's problematic. So there is a third trefa that's brought by the Amoraim. The fourth trefa from the Amoraim is Amar Rav Chana Mashmuel, Simanim Shenidaldalu Biruban Trefa. If they have detached in the majority, they are problematic. Rashi later on in the parak will say that it means that they detach from the lower jawbone. The majority of the esophagus and the trachea have detached from the lower jawbone. That's what it means, shenidaldalu, which seems to be the problem of ikur that we discussed earlier. One of the things that's alakalamash misinai that's problematic with the animal. Although the Rabbeinu Hananel explains it as being that the esophagus and the trachea are together along the whole strip down the throat, they're actually bound together. So nildalu beruban means that the majority along the way, they've separated. The trachea and the esophagus have actually separated away from each other along the majority of that run from the lower jawbone down to the lungs and down to the stomach where they split apart. So we'll see that later on in the parak when we discuss it. But that's also another trefa. That's a fourth trefa. Fifth trefa is Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila, Amar Rav Matna, Amar Shmuel, Nekrat Selami Ikara trefa. If you have a rib that is taken out from its base, that is a trefa. So as opposed to what the Mishnah discusses, which is the robe of the tzla'ot are missing, that the majority of the ribs are missing, over here we're speaking about those ribs that run from the spinal column, the vertebrae, all the way around to the sternum, and they're attached. If you have a rib that then is detached from the vertebrae at the root of the rib, then that's a trefa, even if you don't have the robe of the ribs that are cracked. On the other hand, we saw in the Mishnah, if you have the robe of the ribs that are taken out or cracked, that's a trefa, but that's only if you have robe. Over here, it has to be one of those main ribs that runs from the vertebrae to the sternum. If it's broken off at the root, at the base of that rib, that's a trefa. So that's a fifth trefa. Vigulgolet shenechbisa biruba. And a sixth one is a skull, Rashi over here, that says that it has suffered multiple blows or trauma to the head, to the skull, but the skull did not crack. And the skull is not chipped, and the membrane is not punctured. It's just multiple blows. It's what's known today as CTE, and there's been a lot of study about this, which is that the brain suffering from major blows has an impact on the brain over time, even without any damage to the skull, even without any damage to the membranes around the brain. Just the multiple blows are a problem. That's the way Rashi learns it. Others learn nechbasa biruba means that there are cracks in the skull, but nothing's missing from the skull. So you don't have any chisaron, and the membrane is still intact. Or others suggest that it is a case where there's been pressure placed, nechbasa, that it's crushed inward the skull, but still there's nothing missing from the skull. But whatever that is, that's also a type of trefa. And then the seventh of the Shav Shmaitat, the seven memorot of the Amoraim is, basaro chufet rova kares birubo trefa. There is a flesh that sits along the rumen. And before we spoke about the kares achitzon, the outer part of the stomach, the outer part of the rumen, that area sits and is protected by the flesh of the behemah. Meaning that the major organs or the front organs are protected by the ribs of the behemah. But when you go further down the animal, there are no longer any ribs over there. Instead, there's the basar, it's the flesh, or the thickness of the flesh of the animal that protects that kares achitzon. There, if the robe of the area that covers the kares is torn, ripped, or problematic, that's a trefa. Even though it's not a robe of the whole extent of the basar of the animal, it's the robe that faces the kares achitzon. That's a trefa. So now you have seven additional trefot. What are you going to do with the fact that Tana the Beit Rabbi Shmuel says there are 18, and now we have another seven that he's got to fit in, and he has an exclusive number of 18. The Gemara says, okay, no problem. So in the Mishnah, we mentioned the word nakuv, tamnaya, havel, eight times. The truth is we really mentioned it nine times, but we already combined two of them, which was hemseis and beta kosot, but now there are eight that remain. Kashvinu bechad. Now combine them all to be one trefa. The trefa will be called nakuv, when you have a puncture. That could be manifest in many different organs along the way. So now, out of the eight organs that are listed with nakuv in it, you are going to combine them all into one that is called nakuv. That means now you have seven slots that remain. So alpik shav, take the other seven out, vayol shav, and then bring in the seven that you have here of the shev shmaitata. Ioche psuke nami, why don't you say the same thing by psuke, where there is cracks or breaks? Because trehavu, over there we had two of them, which is that we had the psukat ha-gargeret. We had the fact that the trachea was broken, and we also had the nishbara shidra v'nitzak hachut, that you had the broken spinal column, and then the spinal cord was broken, or torn. So there you have psuke, you have two things that are psuke. So the guy chashvinu bechad. So why don't you then put them together? If you're going to combine different types and put those together, the batzolu chado, then you're going to be missing one. You're going to have 17 and not 18. Va'od, the rabba vira mishmei the rabba nami nekubai. That's by the spleen that said if it's taken out, it's not a treifa. But if it has a hole in it, it is a treifa. That's also nekubai. You take that out, again, now you're missing two. Ella, hanaktarte de afkat, lo tipok. So those two that you took out before, don't take them out. So that is the two that we mentioned before, which were gluda and behemash nechtecha ragleha, where we said that they are subscribing to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, by nechtecha ragleha, and by gluda, they're subscribing to Rabbi Meir's shita, that's makshir. Don't take those out. We'll include them. So now all the four of the Bazger we're going to include in the list of the 18 of the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Because now we've included, we've taken all the Nikuvot and combined them. There are actually 10 Nikuvot that are mentioned in the Mishnah. We already had to combine Beit HaKotzot and Hemseis. Now we're going to combine all of them into one. That leaves you 9 additional slots. We're going to combine the Psikat HaGargeret and Psikat HaShidra into one. That gives you an additional slot of 10. We have 4 of Basger, which will take up 4 out of those 10. And then we have an additional 6 out of the 7 Sheif Shmaita that we need to include, because one of the Sheif Shmaita was Nikuvah. So that will be covered by Nikuvah. So I have an additional 6, and that will give me the 10 slots I need to get to the 18 of Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, with it being an exclusive list, but that also includes all the Treifot that we know of, that are mentioned in other Mishnayot, Braitot, and by Amoraim. And therefore it's not a problem that it's an exclusive list, because it includes everything that we know. Right, I sent out a chart that gives the layout of these different items and how they're combined. And again, we'll continue tomorrow with even a bigger combination of the treifot down to a smaller number by categorizing them by the type of treifah they are. Similar to what we did already with the nikuvah and the psika, we're going to do with additional items, and then you can concentrate them down into even a smaller number. Okay, we're going to stop here on the top line of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph.